This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gentlemen, before we go to the phones, does anyone have a take they have to get off their chest?
No.
March Madness sucks.
Yeah, I mostly agree with that, Hook. Yeah.
Yes, the big upset of the day, Marshall beating Wichita State. 6-point lead with 1 minute left. They won by 6 points, but it took 18 minutes and 26 seconds to play the final 1 minute of the game and made no difference to the score.
I don't think anybody here really gives a rat's ass.
March Madness sucks, Tony.
No, but let me just say that I'm going to predict that this is going to be one of the worst tournaments ever in the NCAAs.
Just because of the...
Just has that vibe to me that this tournament is going to suck.
Well, when you have 18 minutes, what should take just a couple, you're probably onto something there. I'm guessing a lot of that had to do with replay. Terrible, terrible replay. Keith and Attleboro on the Patriots. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Keith.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
I'm thinking a lot of these players are looking at what we saw in the Super Bowl with the Butler decision and saying, if the coach is going to put his ego and his arrogance above the team, time and time again, because that's not the first time. I mean, getting rid of Jamie Collins, personal. Getting rid of Richard Seymour was personal. That idiotic onside kick against the Eagles 2 years ago, that was his ego. There's no need for it. They weren't the same team after that. The 4th-and-3 against the Colts. People look at these things, and they're all adding up. Because for me, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, Butler thing. I mean, to put your own personal feelings above the team, so we look lost like that, and he got out-coached in all 3 Super Bowls that he lost. People can see that, too. That defensive game plan sucked in the Super Bowl, obviously. So I just think this is what the players are seeing, and this is what you get.
Well, Keith, maybe it's not the destination that it once was, but I still think, look, I mean, this is, as long as the coach and the quarterback are here, it is one of your better chances, better places to go in terms of being able to come here and win a Super Bowl. How long? I don't know, but I think maybe at least for this coming season. There were some interesting quotes from Solomon Wilcott, former NFL player, now with SiriusXM. He talked to Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald, and this was her column yesterday. Do players still want to come play in New England? And here's what he said. Around the NFL, if this guy, Malcolm Butler, did everything he was supposed to do for that organization, he pulled himself up by the bootstraps, turned himself into a player, and to get benched, what happens now? Players look at coaches and teams, and now they're saying, wait a minute. He says it's hard to ignore the drama with the Patriots. 40-year-old quarterback Tom Brady, this is her writing. He goes on to say, this is allowing players to look elsewhere, even players on their own team. Because if you mess with Tom Brady, well, they just did it with Malcolm Butler. And if you think that doesn't resonate around the locker room, and if that doesn't get people and players' attention, I can tell you right now, Gronk is thinking if Brady's not there, he's surely not staying. So do you read into this a little bit much? Do you think that there is this kind of feeling that it wasn't the destination it once was? The players are talking, they see what happened to Butler here, and now they look at the Pats and Belichick and say, yeah, I'm good.
Yes, I do. I think some of that has worn off, Murray. I don't know how you could look at it any other way. And look, it doesn't mean that everybody says, forget it, I don't ever want to play for the Patriots. It's obviously not that bad. There's still a good place to play. But relative to what it was, no, of course not. To me, again, the Amendola thing should tell you plenty. And even Butler, and I go back to Butler last year because I think that was a big thing, too. They had Butler in-house. He'd been a good player for him. They wouldn't pay him. They gave the money to Gilmore, and it pissed off Butler. And so I think that caused a ripple effect. I think that whether it was McCourty or Harmon or whoever else that was in that locker room raised an eyebrow to that and went, and maybe that's why they were a little bit of a mess at the beginning of the year. I don't necessarily include Collins. Like, I know the caller brought Collins into the discussion. They won. I mean, they get rid of Collins and they won. And usually Belichick always has that to fall back on. You may not like it, but trust me, it's right. And he always has that to fall back on. This time he didn't.
Well, Logan Mankins is another example of that as well.
Right, exactly. That was 2014, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They cut his ass, they won the Super Bowl. Lawyer Malloy, they cut his ass, they won the Super Bowl. The Seymour thing didn't go the way Belichick wanted to, and he lost that team. So,
well, this one blew up in his face, too, and it feels like he's maybe lost this team. Or at least there's some upheaval here. Let's go to Brian in the car, who was a Patriots thought. You're next here on Felger and Mass.
Yeah, I could echo what that last caller said. You know, Bill put his ego above the team. These guys bust their balls all season long for a chance to play in a Super Bowl, and then you get there, and Bill does that, I think it sabotages the Super Bowl.
But, Brian, hasn't he always done that?
Well, he's asking these guys to keep their egos in check, and then he puts his ego first in the biggest game of the year.
Okay, but again, I would what I would argue is that he's always done that. He's always he did it in the Super Bowl this time, but you know what? He did it before the Super Bowl. He did. He did it when he signed Gilmore. He greased the skids for Malcolm Butler to go out the door then. Like, this wasn't just a Super Bowl thing. When Belichick says, I'm trying to do what's best for the team, what he's really saying is, I'm trying to do what's best for me. So he will always protect his leverage. He will always protect his power. And most of the time, he gets away with it because he wins. This time, he didn't. And it's biting him in the ass.
Dan in the car on the Patriots. Go ahead. You're next here on Felger and Maz.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. For all the fans out there calling for Bill's head on a pike, you know, I think it's a little bit unfair. I think you got to look at his body of work. He's the longest tenured coach. You're in the league that long, obviously you're going to have some misses in the draft and some decisions that people are going to pick apart. But I think what people are failing to recognize is that when you're drafting 31st, 32nd, you're not looking at high-end talent all the time. You're looking at guys that are kind of question marks and guys that, you know, you're not really sure of. And then I think it's interesting to look at Malcolm Butler's comments that he said, you know, this is the same guy that decided to go with me in the Super Bowl over a guy who's been in the league 5 or 6 years in the crunch time, you know? And I just think it's interesting to look at that aspect of it.
Oh, no, and you know, and what Butler said, he's right, too, and he's referencing Kyle Arrington being benched in Super Bowl 49 on Chris Matthews, who was torturing him. He puts Butler in, and it obviously worked out. He's not infallible, Belichick. He's going to get things wrong. The guy is human. And, for those that are – because we've taken a lot of these calls while you've been out, Maz. Like, people want Belichick's head, and I appreciate the anger. I'm glad people are angry. You're angry. You should be about the Butler decision and the return on Garoppolo. Take a look around the league and look at some of the names of the other head coaches. You know, the Denver Broncos didn't fire Vance Joseph. Hugh Jackson, still in Cleveland. Who would you rather have here? Are you ready to go to McDaniels? Are you sure that's going to work out with that guy? Because I don't think that it is.
Yeah, look, to me, that discussion is crazy. It does tell you, though, how much damage Belichick did to his reputation in the Super Bowl. That people are reacting the way they did. I told you, Murray, in the 19 years he's been the coach, I can't ever remember a bigger blowback on anything Belichick has done than post-Super Bowl with the Malcolm Butler decision. I can't ever remember it. But all of that said, and I think Bill screwed up enormously, who do you blame for the Alex Guerrero thing?
I mean, I think they're both...
Brady!
They're both to blame. He could be less of a hard-ass there, Maz.
I blame Brady. I blame Brady for being a complete high-maintenance diva pain in the ass. That's who I blame. I blame Brady. You can't bring your trainer into the locker room. You can't do it. You want to go see him on your own time.
All right,
Belichick shouldn't have allowed it. You want to give him blame for that? Fine. But Brady's the source of that problem.
We'll continue to take your calls here on an agenda-free Friday. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee. Oh! Love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Backus coming late, and he knocked down Trocheck, and that's going to draw Matheson, who's going to drop the gloves with Backus. He's firing a couple of right hands. Backus is going to try and respond. He has the jersey pulled over his head. The linesman intercede.
Head down, way down that time for Trocheck. Trocheck's leaning way down. He's not standing straight up. Think Charlie McAvoy leaning in. Think Brad Marchand leaning in. Backus gets him a little bit high, but he's leaning forward, and he's down.
The sheet says a match penalty for David Backus, which is for intent to injure.
I'm at a loss.
You know, it's kind of hit that I've been doing for years, so if this is kind of the new NHL, the new standard, then I hope I can have my old league back, but if not, then maybe there's some adjustments that I need to make.
David Backus essentially saying, make the NHL great again, or what are we doing here? Bob Beers in that clip said it best. I mean, huh? What? In case you didn't know, you didn't watch last night's Bruins 3-0 loss to the Panthers. It's just, I think it's a bad look for the NHL, Maz. David Backus hits Vincent Trocheck, hopefully I'm saying it correctly, in neutral zone in the first period, late in the first period. Trocheck's leaning forward, reaching for the puck. You look at it in real time, even though it's fast and it looks violent, it's a clean hit. It's a clean hit. There's no injury. It's not a hit to the head. It's a shoulder. He hits, Backus hits his shoulder. So you get the quick brawl. Backus gets 5 minutes for that. And then the match penalty for a hit to the head. A hit to the head. You saw that. Did it look like a hit to the head to you?
No, I thought, when he made the hit, who was it, Nielsen with the at the Garden when he gets suspended?
Yeah.
That hit, I thought, was worthy of a suspension.
And late.
Okay, the hit was late. The player was standing up straight. You know, Backus hit him up in the head area. Like, no two ways about it. In this day and age, you're not getting away with that. You're done. This one, I thought, was more like the reason I brought that up is because people tried to compare it to the McAvoy hit.
Yeah, the Hornquist hit on Charlie McAvoy from a couple of
years ago. And I didn't think it was apples to apples. They were totally different hits. This was a little more
similar.
This
one was more like that. This was that. He was not hit from behind Trocheck. He was reaching. Backus hits Trocheck's shoulder. And what drives me, and I talked about this earlier, like, match penalty. It's extremely open to interpretation. This is what makes this so frustrating, because Backus doesn't have any history other than this 3-game suspension he just got whacked for. Guy's been in the league, what, 11 years or whatever it is now? Like, come on. Now, what, they're looking for him in this game, so it's open to interpretation by these refs last night? Here's the rule. Rule 48.5 in the NHL rulebook. Match penalty. The referee, at his discretion, may assess a match penalty if, in his judgment, the player attempted to or deliberately injured his opponent with an illegal check to the head. If deemed appropriate, supplementary discipline can be applied by the commissioner at his discretion. Now, thankfully, it's been confirmed now from Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston. There's not going to be any suspension or anything like that. But come on. Like, you can't tell me that seeing this last night, that those refs before the game are like, okay, Backus just comes off the suspension. We're getting an eye on him. Again, no real history there other than this recent suspension. But we're going to watch him. Ah, that hit looked violent. Really wasn't. So we're going to whack him with this match penalty. It's a bad look for the league.
Yeah. Look, we're obviously heading toward an age, excuse me, Murray, where you can't target the head at all. Okay, you can't target at all. But while we're on the way there, that hit to me last night should have been legal.
Bob in the car with the Celtics thought here on an agenda-free Friday in Filigree and Mass. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. I hope you don't mind if I change subjects for a second.
No, please, go.
So I was at the game the other night, and my question to you guys is, with 8 seconds to go in a game, you come out of a timeout, the other team has the ball underneath your basket, why the hell are you playing a zone? Why are you in that diamond zone crap that Brad runs all the time? I understand it throughout the whole game, but with 8 seconds to go, they need a three because you're up three. I just didn't understand that.
That I can't speak. Look, there's that whole game, Bob, and I feel for you because I don't know how anyone sat through that towards the end of that regulation with just, it was interminable, Maz. It was just nonstop replay after replay, and you get double overtime, and it should have been iced as it was in the first place because Morris doesn't defend the three with 3.5 seconds to go, and then Jason Tatum can't hit a free throw to win the game. Like, it was just bad decision after bad decision, one of the stupidest losses of the season. I don't care that they were shorthanded and I had 9 players available. You blow a 20-point lead, it's inexcusable.
See, I still think Washington could give them a run in the playoffs. That Washington team has talent.
Longest order await. Michael in the car with a Bill Belichick thought. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Guys, please listen to me for a minute with Belichick. They have won 75% of their games over 17 years. With Gronk out of the lineup over the last 5 years, they've won 78% of their games. With Edelman out of the lineup, they have won 76% of their games. They won 11-5 with Matt Bleepin Castle. Now, I understand everyone's mad about this, what's his name, Butler not playing in the Super Bowl. Butler sucked most of this year. Roe was a bigger guy. He liked the matchup.
So, Michael, what's your bigger point here?
My biggest point is this. Bill Belichick is the greatest mind in football history. Hear me out. There's a lot more. Now, Tom Brady's the greatest ever, but you got your Eli Mannings, you got your Rodgers, you got your Roethlisbergers. He don't win multiple Super Bowls with that guy? With those guys? Yes, he does. But how many Bill Belichicks over the years are there? Football is not basketball where you hand the ball to LeBron James and you say, take it on your own. It ain't baseball where you hand it to your ace and get out of the way.
Michael,
I let him go.
Thank God.
Look, with Belichick, it's him and everybody else. I would take him over any other coach in the league. But let's not, again, he's not infallible. He's making mistakes. He's made a lot of mistakes. You know, a lot of bad personnel decisions last year. Obviously, the terrible decision at Super Bowl 52 and how what little he got with Jimmy Garoppolo. The guy, not everything that he does turns to gold. All right? Come on. You can at least admit that.
Do you think he goes to 8 Super Bowls with Ben Roethlisberger?
No!
I mean, this is where it gets stupid. But now, inevitably, because you have this thing going on down in Foxborough, it becomes Brady or Belichick. And so you have to pick one. And so I've always been more of a Brady guy. Okay, if you ask me...
Yeah, me too. And the other thing, too, I have to scratch this itch. That 2008 season is the most overrated thing ever. I don't care that they went 11-5 with Matt Cassel. Did that guy win one of those big games that year? You lose overtime to the Jets. You get blown up by the Steelers at home. You lose at the Colts. He sucked. The only reason that team won had nothing to do with Cassel. It was because you still had most of the 2007 team that almost went unbeaten intact. I hate that season so much. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Missed the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I know. I know.
You can go ahead. I don't need to talk.
Okay. Let's go to Mike in Groton, talking about that David Backus hit from last night. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm watching the game last night, and I know the Matt's penalty's intent to injure. And I understand he just came off a suspension, but when I'm watching this, I forget the player he hit, but I can see this player struggling. He's in a vulnerable position. And that happened when Backus was already going towards him. So I noticed Backus didn't lean into the shoulder. He actually just kind of glided into him with his body because he knew he was in a vulnerable position at the last minute. And, I mean, I understand, like, okay, referee's angle on the ice. But, I mean, it wasn't right. And it kind of pulled me back a little bit. But, and also, in general with that game, I know the Bruins have some injuries. But, man, Porter shut them down. They couldn't even get a shot on that. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, look, that was not a good game for them. The refereeing was embarrassing, and, you know, with all the injury concerns with this team right now, the fact that you still have Chara out tomorrow against Tampa, I can understand why there's a little bit of concern around them right now, but I'm not worried about it. I like the fact that the Bruins are kind of locked in at that two-seed, Maz. You're going to have home ice against Toronto for that first round. I certainly don't want them getting the albatross of that stupid President's Trophy, so even if they get skunked tomorrow in Tampa, I'm good. I'm not that worried about that team. You're getting these guys. You're going to have Bergeron. You're going to have McAvoy back. You'll have all these guys ready for the playoffs. Nobody's at 100% right now. I still think you're going to get a deep run out of this team.
I mean, managing the health is way more important now, and I think the Celtics generally are doing the same thing.
Let's go to Ray and Revere with a Patriots thought. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Ray.
Yeah, Tony, and I think that you made a statement a little while ago. You've never seen so much blowback for Belichick, and I think the reason you're seeing it now is his two direct-line cause-and-effect decisions that he made. Literally, gets rid of Garoppolo for pocket change. The guy goes undefeated and signs a mega-bucks contract, and he's sitting there with the 43rd pick. He's got a second-string quarterback going up and down the field on him in the Super Bowl. He's got a Pro Bowl player on the sidelines, won't put him in the game. You know, guys, I get the fact that Belichick's personality is such that he's got to be in control and suffer no fools and all that, and that's probably all part of his greatness. And while I don't advocate getting rid of him, he's the greatest coach they've ever had, I do think they need some checks and balances down there, particularly on the personnel management front. I don't think he's getting enough for his assets once he has them under control. And I think another adult in the room will help him because he's getting more erratic in his decision-making in recent years. And I worry about the guy because he's got a window here with Brady. And I think he's kind of squandering it.
Checks and balances for Belichick. Someone else in the room. While in theory, I would like that too. Don't you think that would even further expedite his exit?
I mean, you know, it's possible that they put some in place now if this is his final year. Like, I don't know how that's all going to work. I think we're all curious about that, right? Like, you know, now you have, if this is it, he's got one foot out the door. How committed is he to the long term? So, you know, it all gets very muddied. All the waters get very muddied very quickly when you start, you know, employing someone who's not in it for the long haul. It gets hard.
So if you had your say, who do you want making the decisions with the draft this year? Do you want it to be more McDaniels or do you want it to be Belichick?
Bill. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'm not a McDaniels guy like a lot of people are. I think you know that. Like, I think McDaniels is a little overrated. He's had Tom Brady. That's why he's one of the best offensive coordinators in the game.
Right.
I could coordinate that offense, for crying out loud. So could you. So you know, I just think that with Belichick, part of the reason he's as good as he is because he is a control freak. That's part of it. And there's a negative to it, and this is what you get. You get that ego.
Yeah, I mean, people have never loved his drafts, right? But that's part of what, that's part of the package. I mean, he makes up for the drafts with everything else he does, or he makes up for not signing the big name with whatever he does after that. It's not completely in Bill we trust. We can criticize him for what we see as the wrong moves, but ultimately you have to agree that the results ultimately speak for themselves.
Mike and Woburn, did you like that match penalty last night?
Oh, my God. First of all, they announced that it was hitting from behind. You know, like I said it last night, I'll say it again. Chris Lee is freaking Joe West without the meal plan. He's terrible. He is like, he's awful. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. And the match penalty is, this is the new thing that they're doing now because they want to, like, eliminate the gong show. It's basically over-penalize on the ice to get the perpetrator off the ice so there's no Steve Moore incident later on in the game. So you're eliminating the guy that everybody's going to be trying to get for the rest of the game to sort of diffuse the issue. I haven't heard. Is player safety reviewing this?
No, it sounds like no.
No, it sounds like he's going to get a pass here.
Well, that makes sense because that's a hockey play. You lean over like that at the last second to lunge for the puck. You get hit in the neutral zone. I'm sorry if you got some of your cranium while you were doing it, but that's a hockey play. Like, the whole reason why this rule was in place was to take out the dirty headshot, and it's become due to basically media, hysterical media members, like, falling into the concussion, hysteria. It's become this thing now where every hit gets Zapruder'd and slowed down, and we see, like, oh, was the head the principal point of contact? How much was it targeted? How do you know if it's targeted? You're not the guy.
Yeah, Mike, and it's reminding me of what's happened here in the NFL over the last few years, in which, with the refs in the league, if it's a hit up high, but it's not helmet-to-helmet contact, but if it sounds violent, if you get that helmet, Maz, like hitting the shoulder pads, it sounds like helmet-to-helmet because it happened so fast, sounds violent, out comes the flag. That's what you got last night. It looked more violent than it actually was because of the speed of the game, and because Backes is coming off a 3-game suspension, he gets the match penalty. Stupid. Just a bad look for the NHL last night. We'll wrap things up with the final word next. Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blood force drum!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, the final word is being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Because, you know, for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. I'm having a little trouble. I'm going to have to tell Jimmy right here on the air that he's going to have to play the thing. I can't get it to open
we
up.
We could
here.
Tell you were distracted, well, Marshall.
This radio is a fickle mistress, don't you know?
Yes, all of a sudden, it Carts is not a place I'm allowed to go.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, but you know what? He's allowed to go there, and he's put together a wonderful little bit of...
is going to be a minute.
It's going to be a minute, oh.
Well,
it's Friday at 5:55. I was logged out from my computer.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? I mean, everyone is ready to get the hell out of here.
I mean, look, the little thing I click on is right there, but as I click on it, it's
well,
going...
tell me.
So it's tough to do Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike when neither one of us is here all week.
Yeah, well, yeah, so but that's why we're doing a little greatest.
Best of. Best
we were going to replay a best of from my... Yeah, from
we
what
still
I
are.
Okay.
We still are.
All right.
Give me the year. Give me the year and the month, and I'll tell you what it is. This is like name that it's tune for crying out loud.
Jimmy Stewart's archives.
Yeah,
so
we
got
to dig it out a little bit.
This is what happens when you have a live entertainment medium. You got to kind of dance.
Sometimes
around.
Things don't work as well as you had hoped. Right.
So the Squeaky Maz that I picked is an oldie. I'm not going to tell you when it was, but it was relating to Bill Belichick and those who question him.
Oh, how perfect!
It seems to fit right into what we're doing.
Well, I think I know what this one is. Actually, go.
There's two types of people who question what the Patriots do.
talk show hosts, and the other one are absolute idiots.
If you had to pick Malcolm Butler or Stephon Gilmore to play corner, who would you pick?
I would pick whoever Bill Belichick figures
out. Well, okay, well, that just doesn't work for us, though. I mean, I can't do it that way. My job is to sit here and tell you what I think. Think. Look, I think the guy's a fabulous coach. We all do. Think. I would never pick anybody else to coach the team.
I mean, not every single...
Who would? Obviously. But the reason you didn't answer the question is because deep down you pick Butler. But you don't care because Bills get the power. Bills get the power. So you're not going to say it because I don't care as long as they win. But I'm asking for the purposes of the discussion. Who would you rather have, Butler or Gilmore?
You know, they haven't...
And my guess is you'd rather have Butler. But you can't say that because that would be disagreeing with Bill. So yes, I don't love the idea of them turning over both corners. Does it mean you're taking the whole season and flushing it down the toilet? No! Holy crap!
I don't drink the Kool-Aid. I bathe in it, I shower in it.
That's a fabulous way to have a discussion.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. Regurgitating the Kool-Aid. Is that what Gasper said?
That's what Gasper has called it. People are now regurgitating the Kool-Aid.
You know, if the Patriots had the secondary that Tennessee will have in 2018, they probably would have won the Super Bowl.
<That's>
just saying. I'm just, you know, chucking that out there.
So the second Mad Mike that I selected was Felger loves, of course, technology, and he especially loves drones.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this Trevor Bauer. Go.
That finger is bleeding. We got a shot of it, and it was literally dripping. And they'll look at Bauer's finger, and it is bleeding pretty badly. Bauer has to leave the game.
So this guy, Trevor Bauer, the guy who beat you, by the way, too, this nerd.
It's the ALCS. You're pitching to go to the World Series.
Yep.
And this little boy, this little child, had to play with his toys, his drone. He's pitching to go to the World Series.
Yep.
He heard it playing with his drone.
One of his drones.
Oh, my God. What is this? Are you kidding me?
The Indians are getting him an electric train for Christmas.
Bauer said he first got into drones in 2013 after seeing a drone video that reminded him of the Endor scene from Return of the Jedi.
Great scene.
I said, this looks awesome.
Where the Ewoks live.
I've got to learn how to do that, said Bauer.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Are you kidding? Is he 8 years old?
I love the Ewoks.
In 2015, Major League Baseball ordered Bauer to ground his quadcopter drone, which he had been flying over the team's spring training facility in Arizona.
Correct.
Oh, you dork. You dork. You dork. Get a load of this dork.
I like Star Wars.
It's the World Series, dude!
My favorite one. Phantom Menace, probably.
You're pitching to go to the World Series!
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Darth Maul is one of the coolest villains. His theme song, which is... I like that one for whatever reason.
And this is what you're doing? It's the pinnacle of his profession. I couldn't believe this!
I'm surprised he didn't bring up Emperor Palpatine.
People play drums should die. I agree. Vile noise-making nuisances.
I heard the Patriots have a couple.
Good. See how good my finger was.
Felger and Maz.